Hi, everybody. Welcome to the City Girls Pod. And this is a show where we talk about all things Sex and the City. And we're really excited today because we are doing our first recap of Carrie Diaries, which was ran for two seasons. And we had never seen it and we just heard about it. And so this is our first taste of it. It's going to be so fun to talk about it. And I'm film critic Rachel Anger. Jax is here.
Hi, Rachel.
Yes. How's it going?
Good. I missed you. I'll get to see you in person in a week, though, which will be nice.
Yes, which we need to talk about, by the way.
Yeah, we need to talk about.
but yeah, no, I'm so excited. We're going to have City Girls meet up, which is going to be super fun for Sundance. And yeah, the Carrie Diaries. For whatever reason, I had heard that this wasn't very good. I mean, it only lasted two seasons. And I was a little bit hesitant because I'm not that big a fan of teen dramas a lot of times, you know me. And like the whole teenage angst thing is like my least favorite thing. Like Dorit, and this is just not for me.
Yeah. That's not going to be Rachel's friend.
No. And I think that maybe that's why I was spared having children, because I don't think I would be good. I could like turn them over to someone else during the teenage years.
I don't need to deal with this.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's maybe why I was a little bit like, I don't know, but we watched the pilot and then we'll do just similar coverage like we've done. I think we'll do two episodes just because there's not that many episodes and in our coverage. And but yeah, what about you? What were your expectations going into it?
So yeah, very low. I had thought in my head that it was going to be extremely cheesy, very surface level, and annoying. And it was the opposite of all those things.
Yeah, I don't know how the rest of the series will play out. We'll find out. But I thought this pilot was very strong. It's one of my favorite Sex and the City things, period.
Same. The only thing that for me I'm bumping up against, and it's through no fault of the Carrie Diaries, it's interesting to watch the entire canon of Sex and the City, not know anything about Carrie's past and now have it filled in. I like it, but it also is just like, oh, wait, what's going on? I thought I knew this person, but only if she existed as an adult in New York City. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think this is sort of more fan fiction.
Yes.
Than it is, because I don't think any of the characters that are mentioned in the show are really going to be much in this. Like her high school boyfriend, played by David Duchovny, in that episode we both didn't like. What was his name? Let's see. It was definitely not Sebastian. Jeremy. His name was Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
So I mean, it'd be interesting to see if we ever see Jeremy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to see Austin Butler, who I didn't know was in this.
I didn't know either.
What a delightful surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, the casting was very strong. I mean, Anna Sophia Robb, she is just so good in everything that she is in. She was in this movie called Words on Bathroom Walls, which was a really special movie to me because right during the pandemic, it was actually released in theaters. It stars Charlie Plummer, who I think is just amazing, young actor, and about him developing schizophrenia and how he like learned to deal with it and everything. And she plays like the one of his personalities that he sees.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And anyway, I loved the movie. But when I was writing about it, I was like, on my blog, I said, I don't know anything about this. I do not know anything about schizophrenia. I don't know if this is like an insulting depiction. I don't know if it's a good depiction. I have no idea. I think it was good, but I have no reference, you know, for this. Right. And so I said in my review, I said, I would love to talk to somebody who has schizophrenia, who's seen the film, what they think of it. And this young man, I think his name was Sean. Anyway, he reached out to me. He'd read my review and he loved the movie. And they ended up coming on the podcast, and I put them on a Hallmarkies podcast because I wanted it to get more exposure than just Rachel's reviews.
I love that.
Yeah. And so we talked and it was amazing. And then the director, Thor Frudenthal is his name. It's like an amazing name. He found out about it. He listened, and then he ended up coming on the podcast. So it was like one of the highlights of early pandemic for me.
Yeah. What an interesting that you open yourself up to that, to getting this really unique perspective.
Yeah. It was really cool. And it was cool because not only was it neat to be able to learn more about, you know, remove some of the stigma, but also it encouraged the young man that he then was like started his own blog and was like talking about it with people and things. Anyway, it was very, very neat. So I have a special place in my heart for that movie. She's in that movie. She's done a number of really interesting things, cool things. She's really good in this as Carrie. I buy her. I think it's a good match to Sarah Jessica Parker.
I do too. And I think that actually we get to see a lot more sensitivity and heart to this Carrie than we get even in the TV show, in Sex and the City proper.
I agree. And it kind of made me wish that maybe we'd had 42 minute episodes of Sex and the City.
Yep.
You know, that we'd been able to kind of dig a little bit deeper into some of the topics and some of the things that in a 22 minute episode, it's harder to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like we're dealing with even in this episode with real deep things like grief.
Mm-hmm. And it would go there certainly, like when Miranda's mother dies, and when Samantha gets cancer, you know, there were definitely some more intense moments, but I don't know, there's just something about the show that I was really invested in it. And I definitely felt like I could relate to it. And maybe part of it is that we're just coming off that terrible movie.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I wanted to ask you though, Rachel, this is related, not to Carrie Diaries, but to Sex and the City. Uh-huh. What do you think about the photo that was released?
Yeah, we should talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have her in this very strange dress, which is kind of nice, actually, because the fashion was so bland in And Just Like That for season one. So I'm kind of glad that they're going some weird places in season two.
Totally.
But of course, with her and Aiden, I think it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy it. I feel like it's very uncreative. I'm a little bit like, we're going there again.
Right.
I mean, is there that much more these characters have to teach us, you know, about, do they, what? Right. I don't know. There's a little side of me that like, there's more interesting things I think they could have done.
Right.
And it maybe even like a bring out, it would be fun to, if they had brought back somebody a little more obscure, you know, like what if she ran into Burger? That would
I think
the fan base wouldn't accept it, but they don't care anybody about it just like that. So why not?
Why not? I actually like, I feel like Burger had a lot of growing up to do. Yes. And I would like to meet Burger now.
Yeah.
Burger meet now.
Yeah. Well, and I guess it's kind of good with the way that they left off Aiden in the second movie, which stunk. Yeah. So maybe that's a way to kind of to renew that and make that better. But I don't know. I've always felt like of all of the relationships, Burger was actually the one that was the most suited and had the most in common with Carrie if he could have gotten over his jealousy.
Yeah, it was just like the wrong time in his life for me, Carrie. And the wrong time in her life too, because she was on an upswing to be even more successful and he was just in a bad spot. So I think it was like, could have been right person, wrong time.
But we're like the only podcast that thinks that. Everybody else seems to hate Burger. And what he did was super lame. I understand that with the post-its and everything. But they just had a lot in common. And let's be honest, it's not like Carrie's some like bastion of good behavior.
She certainly is not.
Especially to her love interests. I mean, is she so much better behaved than Burger? I don't think so.
Nope, we've seen a lot of Carrie Bradshaw bad behavior.
We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast to celebrate our sponsor of this episode, and that is the Hallmarkies Patreon.
Do you love Hallmarkies podcast?
Do you want an inside scoop into what happens on the podcast?
Do you want early access to episodes and loads of cool perks?
Now is the time to become a patron of Hallmarkies podcast.
By becoming a patron, you get to access our patron Facebook group.
You can request episodes or even be a guest on the podcast.
And most importantly, any patron can join our monthly movie watch-alongs with stars like Paul Campbell, Natalie Hall, and more.
It's as low as $2 a month to join in and become a special part of the Hallmarkies family.
Please consider, and we will love you forever.
Go to patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
That's patreon.com/Hallmarkies.
I mean, Burger didn't have an affair.
No.
That we know, at least, I guess. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be certainly fun to cover.
Well, also, just I love John Corbett. That's the actor's name, right?
Yeah.
I just think he's great. So I'm excited to see him.
And they do have a nice chemistry together. Sarah Jessica Parker and John Corbett.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. And I'm honestly a little bit surprised that the season 2 didn't get canceled. I mean, just HBO was just canceling everything and like taking tax write-offs on everything. And I feel like, yes, the first season had good ratings, but it seemed like hardly anyone liked it. So I don't know. I would not have been surprised if we'd gotten an announcement saying it wasn't going to be moving forward just because they had canceled so much. And I don't know if you've heard about this Velma show. Have you heard about this?
No. Wait, oh, is this gosh. Velma like Scooby-Doo? Or?
Yeah. It's this animated show and it is getting the worst reviews of almost anything I've ever heard.
Oh no. That's so
my
sad.
Friend Sean Chandler reviewed it and he's usually pretty forgiving. He's just pretty nice. And he said it's one of the worst things he'd ever seen ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
What's that?
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but now I'm just like, oh. Because I've never seen hardly any Scooby-Doo. But it sounds, I mean, it's surprising because HBO Max has been pretty good. Like really, and just like that is probably the weakest of any of their series that they've had. And it's like, fine. It's not the best. But like, so the fact that and it's really ironic too, because they took a tax write-off on the Scooby-Doo Christmas movie that was finished. It was completely finished. They'd animated it. They'd finished it. And they took a write-off on it and with Batgirl, but that wasn't finished, I don't think. But anyway, they took a tax write-off on both of those. And then they greenlight this absolutely terrible Scooby-Doo adult Velma show or whatever.
That's bonkers to me.
It's crazy. But anyway, so HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Yeah. But at least we had the Carrie Diaries. This was from 2013 to 2014. And this was on the CW. They had Candace Bushnell. And she had written a book called The Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, which is very cool. She's really capitalized on this.
Yeah, she did.
I love it.
I mean, do we remember Carrie talking about her mother in the show? Her mother dying?
I don't. I feel like it would have, if she would have referenced it, it would have been in the episode with Miranda's mom passing away. Like, I lost my mom.
Yeah.
I don't remember her saying anything about her mom or dad or sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she never, I don't think, ever mentioned her sister.
No.
Sister Dorrit. And I'm looking in the notes to see if this says anything about that, but I don't think they ever talked about her dad or anything like that on the show. So her sister Dorrit, they get in a fight over her. She's trying to get her mom's purse back, right? And then her sister bites her, which like the dad didn't seem concerned about that at all.
And you're not 2 years old to be biting someone at that age. Like there's some deep stuff going on.
Yeah. Like even if both people have like their sides in the argument, like the fact that she bit her, that was very alarming to me.
Very.
I mean, I guess the dad's just overwhelmed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very much so.
And so she dreams of New York City. She dreams of like ruling the city. And then she gets to go into her mom's closet and she gets her mom's sunglasses. And the mean girls at the school are Donna, LaDonna, and the Jens. These are all people that would have been really fun to have on the show.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because really, I think the Jeremy's the only one that's not the four girls that shows up on the show.
Yeah.
But she evidently, so there's Mouse, Maggie, Walt, and Sebastian, I think is the name of the friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mouse, Maggie, yeah, Walt, and Sebastian. And Austin Butler, Sebastian.
And
he is amazing in this show. Like, I mean, I'm just amazed that all of teenage girls didn't fall in love with him.
Oh my goodness, he's so good in this. And also, like, he manages to kind of be a little bit of a jerky popular guy, but with a heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's believable too. Mm-hmm. I thought the way he played it.
Yeah, it was very, very swoon-worthy. He had so much confidence. I think that's what it was. Like, when he steps into a room, you know he's there.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast. My name is BJ.
And my name is Mitu, and we promise this promo is worth it, so please don't skip ahead.
We're two judgy friends who put our judgmental skills to work for you. We review the pilot episodes of new and popular shows, and shows that our listeners request to answer your question, should I watch this?
Look, a lot of us are spending a lot more time at home, and yes, we should be reading and trying new projects and enriching ourselves, but does anything beat binging a great show?
Let us take the guesswork out of deciding what your next show will be. Tune in to The Pilot Podcast at thepilotpodcast.com.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of something like The Duff, you know, where, have you seen The Duff?
No.
It's like fine. Yeah, but she's kind of the nerdy girl designer. And her neighbor is this like super attractive, Robbie Unnel is her neighbor. And they're both like, it's Mae Whitman. And they're both like way too old to be playing these roles.
But
nevertheless, it's a fun little romantic movie. And, but yeah, he's like the cool popular one. She's the jerky nerd. That's a fun, kind of fun trope.
Oh, I love that trope. As a dorky nerd in high school, I love that trope.
Mm-hmm. And so they get back from summer vacation and basically everybody in her peer group has lost their virginity over the summer. So she's the one. And I guess her and Sebastian had a kiss. We find that later.
Yeah.
A pretty hot kiss. But
I mean, it was a kiss.
Yes. And and you see this this little moment between them. And he says, I think it's cool you have so much going on in your head. And they talk, nobody's better off without a mom. And then he holds her hand. And then you get this this flashback to them swimming. And she's like, I'll never see you again once you get a pool, because it's like a community pool. And he says, I'd slay a dragon for you. It was pretty good.
It was great. I do like that we see already how Carrie thinks about things really deeply. And that's something that follows her into adulthood, you know, talking about how she's complex and she analyzes things and that she's been that way since she was a young girl. I thought that was really interesting. And that a lot of times her romantic partners don't get that and they can't relate to that. And I thought that that was really cool about this dynamic with her and Sebastian. He's like, no, my brain doesn't work like that, but I love that yours does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting if they were to bring Sebastian back for And Just Like That, like I wonder who you could get to play an older Austin Butler.
Ooh, that's good question.
Like who in there, I mean, that they haven't already used, because I think you actually could use like David Duchovny or someone like that.
Yeah.
But they haven't already used. It's tricky.
Yeah, that is tricky and interesting to think about.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a Jeff Bridges or somebody like that. I feel like they have a similar kind of swagger.
Yeah. Jack Sebastian.
Yeah. That would be really fun. I would love that. And so the dad says that, Carrie passes out when she sees her dad at school, and she's so embarrassed. And her dad figures out this internship, for her to work with this Manhattan lawyer. And the thing you have to think about is this is New York 1984, which is very different than New York 1998 of the series.
Yeah.
Very different. This was before the cleanup that happened, before the Giuliani cleanup.
Yeah, definitely.
And they did a good job of recreating. I mean, I think that this show was probably filmed on... say where it's filmed. Let's see here. I don't see it. But anyway, I think the show was probably filmed on like the Warner Brothers lot, is my guess.
Yeah.
Because it like the fact they were able to get all of the cars and all of the other stuff all looking right.
Yes.
You know, you obviously wouldn't be able to do that in if you were filming live.
Exactly.
I'm sure you're just gonna see if they said here on IMDb. Silver Cup Studios, East Long Island City, Queens, New York City, New York. Oh, so it's
The New York show. Yeah.
New York studio. Okay. That's good to hear. Warner That's Brothers Television.
Stomping grounds in Astoria.
Mm-hmm. So, so then we have her going to this internship. The sister had ruined the mom's purse, and then she paints it with Carrie and the nail polish and everything. And I thought that looked so good. They did a great job with that.
Amazing. I know you and I should get purses like that.
Well, actually I almost forgot. But I just wanted to show you that I bought this. This is my only fancy purse. That I got at Kate's, it's a Kate Spade.
Oh, it's Kate Spade?
Yes.
Cute.
See on the back?
That's so cute.
And it comes around like this.
Oh my gosh.
And I got it at Century 21.
Just like in the
show. In the episode. It's where she gets the dress.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That is it's an adorable purse.
Thank you.
It actually looks like it fits. A lot, but like it's a classy size.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it since I got it in 2000. I mean, I had it a long, long, long time. You can see inside.
Oh, it's cute inside too. Kate Spade holds up well.
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't used it that much because I save it for special occasions and things like that. Plus, in like real life, I like a longer strap purse. But anyway, so yeah, I was really excited when she goes to Century 21. I'm like,
I've been there, Carrie.
Yeah,
I've been there.
But anyway, yeah, it's so that's like my one piece of like fashionable. It's certainly my fashionable purse. It was so funny. So I did that. I did a spot on the morning news here. Good Things Utah.
Good, by the way.
Thank you. But I was talking to my friend Val, who's one of the ones who recommended me. My friend Val and Patrick recommended me, and I was like, what should I wear? I have no idea. And she's like, well, just wear your own style, whatever your own fashion is. And I was like, I've been working at home. Working at home since 2008. I don't have any fashion. I don't need style.
Like, define. Well, when you presented the award, you were all gussied up.
Yeah, that's true. I have one nice dress and one purse.
One nice dress, one purse.
So I got to figure out my style. You're going to have to help me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Figure out my style.
It's funny, though, because it's one of those things where you're like, oh, you want to dress like your own style. It's like when someone says, be yourself, and you're like, okay, who am I, though?
Yeah. Well, and it was so funny. So I wore a black top and jeans, nice jeans. And I get there and just randomly, because they didn't tell me a color, they didn't tell me anything. And everyone had chosen to wear black. Everyone. It was really funny. I was like, what, are we all going to a funeral after this?
Matchy matchy?
Yeah, they're all wearing black. So that was really funny. But yeah, we're seeing, it's fun to get to see Carrie kind of figuring out her own style. And you can see how she brings in a lot of these sort of 80s influences into the show. And that you know, that must have been something that just feels that she thought of as she was styling, that like Carrie would be modern. She would be wearing 90s and 2000s clothes, but she would also be wearing 80s inspired clothes too.
Absolutely. And we get to see how her love for the city is shaped. It's mm-hmm. so magical to watch this happen.
Yeah, yeah. And then she doesn't have stockings on, so the lawyer tells her, you know, go get nylons, basically. And that's something that's so changed. I mean, I think even on the red carpet and stuff like that, they don't wear nylons anymore. I mean, it's just very rarely required.
Right. But so different in the 80s.
Yeah. When I was on my mission, we were required to wear stockings of some kind, nylons, or at least like knee highs.
Oh yeah.
And I hated them so much. So much. They don't have to anymore. They got rid of that rule, but oh, I hated them so much. But yeah, so she goes to Century 21 and this woman, Larissa, like she loves her purse. She meets her and she basically Carrie kind of helps her steal a dress.
Yes.
Which seems very bold for Larissa to just trust this teenager. I don't know, to do this. I mean, it was somebody she hasn't even met.
This was the only plot point that I was like, do we need this? Like, I love Larissa, but I don't think we needed this stealing aspect. I also think a woman in her position, like, yes, there are different reasons why people steal. And for some people it is the thrill or it's an addiction or whatever, but like, I don't think we need that nuance to this character particularly.
Yeah. Especially because Century 21 is a discount place.
Yeah.
It's literally already on discount. So that's like super rude, but she likes the thrill evidently.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Are you looking for that perfect gift for the postable, hardy, or Hallmarky in your life?
What about getting that t-shirt or hoodie that will help you stand out at your next holiday party?
Now is the time to check out the Hallmarkies Merch Store.
Full of festive designs by artists like Jessica Miller, Carrie from Hallmark Comics, and more.
You can even have more than just shirts, but totes, cell phone cases, notebooks, mugs, and more.
And it isn't just Hallmark. We have designs for Anne of Green Gables, Man from Snowy River, The Nanny, and more.
Every purchase at the merch store goes to help support the podcast and allows us to make the great content you know and love.
There are frequent sales, so go to teepublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies or see the link in the description.
That's teepublic.com/stores/Hallmarkies.
Dress that they say is like the Madonna dress.
Yeah.
And it was a great look.
Oh, she looks adorable.
Yeah. This red and then with black polka dots. And I also loved her dress to go in this the city with it was like a tin foil almost looked like. It was a silver dress with a green jacket. It looked so good.
Yeah, the fashion in this is really great. Like, it was interesting to see Carrie not dressed up for school, but then as the city influences her to change it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then Sebastian wants her number to ask her to the dance. And she's like hesitant about it. And she meets the Style Pack, which are at this club, basically. And so she has like her first experience in a club, which of course we'd see tons in the series.
Yeah. And I loved when she was dancing with that gay couple. And they're talking to her, like, she's like, I don't know any gay people. And they're like, you do. You just don't know what you do.
Yeah. She's like, I met my first gay. It's so exciting. And she's at the club until midnight. And then we also find that that Mouse is really sad because her summer boyfriend, was a college student. She's just a junior in high school. He's not calling her back. So she's really sad about that. And then she says, Carrie says, I lost my virginity to a different man, Manhattan.
Oh my goodness.
That feels like Carrie to me.
So Carrie, and the voiceover is really great. Like, it really makes you feel like this is the same character. She's philosophical. She's fun. Like, she's wrestling with all the same things that grown up Carrie does.
Yeah. And I'm sure, and I'll have to look it up. I'm sure she mentioned on the show how she lost her virginity at one point or another, but I can't remember.
She did. And I'm trying to remember what she said.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think it was Sebastian.
No, it was in high school, though. I feel like it was in her junior year of high school or something. We'll have to fact check that. Yeah.
See, I'm just going to Google it.
Yeah, I think it was.
Let's see here. She lost her virginity. This is episode 308 of Sex and the City, The Big Time. Carrie Bradshaw lost her virginity to a guy named Seth Bateman. Let's see here.
That'd be amazing if that was in the Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, it would be so good. Let's see here. This is from an article from 2010. This was when the novel came out.
Oh.
Novel to Carrie, this article. Says that Candace Bushnell, young Carrie, still hasn't gone all the way in the 12th grade. She says, I don't think of myself as a virgin, 17-year-old narrator says to her friend Maggie. I prefer to think of myself as sexually incomplete, you know, like I haven't finished the course yet.
That's cute.
Let's see here. Let's see. 308, where's... According to episode 417, a Vogue idea, Carrie's father left her mother when she was 5 years old. The heroine of the Carrie Diaries does, however, have a father, but no mother. Mrs. Bradshaw died of cancer when Carrie was 13. So that's different.
Yeah.
No mention of Carrie's siblings was ever made on Sex and the City, but the literary Carrie has two younger sisters named Dorrit and Missy. So the show only had the one.
Yeah.
The book. Let's see. T TV, Carrie had one boyfriend in high school, Jeremy, played by David Duchovny. The Carrie Diaries revolves around Carrie's relationship with mystery bad boy Sebastian. This Carrie also says she has two other major boyfriends before Sam, who was a stoner, and Doug, who was on the basketball team. Jeremy isn't a character in the book. So that's disappointing.
Yes, that is disappointing.
That's weird. It's the big time. So anyway, it sounds like it's different then.
Yeah.
That's too bad, because I feel like it wouldn't have been that hard to make it all connect.
Right. Especially because the information about Carrie's past is so limited on the show that I think they could have taken those couple things and implemented them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, why not? A guy named Seth Bateman when she was in the 11th grade, episode 308. Anyway, so now we know that, so we can stop worrying about the connect.
That's fine.
Yeah, she lost her virginity to a different man, Manhattan.
Manhattan.
So Sebastian's at the dance with Donna. Then Dorit goes missing. And then she comes back and everybody's upset. And the dad says, your mother was tough. I have to admit your mother is gone. So then he lets them go in and take some of her clothes. Dorit takes the dress, this green dress, which I was surprised because it seemed like that would have looked really good on Carrie.
Yeah, when Carrie gave her the dress and said, like, mom always loved you in green, I got all the feels. I thought it was a really beautiful moment.
Yeah. And then going back to that moment where you're talking about with the gay couple, it says, oh, you don't think you've met any gay people, because then Walt is obviously closeted looking through a magazine at home. And then she gets her mom's journals, which is basically the old fashioned form of blogging. So,
and inspiring her.
Yeah. 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 And then we also have Sebastian and her flirty swimming again.
Don't you love a little bit of flirty swimming?
Yeah.
You're a swimmer. You get it.
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't done much of it, but I'm open to it. Let's do it.
I think not many of us have kissed like that in a pool. I was like, oh, Carrie.
Yeah, I certainly never have. That's for sure.
That was quite a kiss.
Yeah, and to think that it would just nothing, there would be no follow-up on that. That seems crazy, especially a teenager.
I know. I was like, woo!
So there we go. That's the episode. I thought it was really strong. I really thought the acting was very good. I liked all the characters, the plot. It doesn't connect with Sex and the City, so we can just count this as being kind of a fan fiction.
Yeah, I think it's really moving, really funny. And even though it's like this, like, fun romp, all the acting is very grounded in reality, which is really refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it took on a lot of issues for a new show. And I guess Amy Heckerling was involved with this show.
Yeah.
And I mean, for a teen drama, it really took on a lot for one pilot.
Yeah, it really did. And it really gets me excited to watch the rest of the series. Mm.
Yeah. Especially to see the chemistry between Anna Sophia Robb and Austin Butler. And I'm like dying for them to be in a movie together now.
Oh. I know. Maybe they will.
Mm-hmm. They should. It would be so good. I mean, he looks a little old. I don't know how old he was for playing a high school kid, but I'm fine with it.
I think I was so surprised because to me, he looks the exact same now. So you're right. But I was like, that is Austin Butler now.
Yeah. So he's 31. So again, I guess he must not have been that old. He just looks the same. You're right. I think that is. That's the thing. The yeah.
Yeah.
Because this was 2013. So it would have been 10 years ago. So he'd been 21.
21 is normal for an actor to be playing a teenager, for sure. Like, we see that all the time. So, yeah, I agree with you. He looks too old.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, because it seems like this show should have done, like, a little bit better. I'm surprised. And it just be on the CW. And it does seem like it's a very different group that this is aimed for versus Sex and the City, obviously, is a much more mature show. Yeah, you know, so maybe that was part of the disconnect. I don't know.
I'm curious who they thought their audience would be, because for the CW, it's like skewed younger, and maybe it just didn't land with them because they didn't have the nostalgia that everyone else, like in our age group, does with Sex and the City.
Yeah. And I also think that that was like a little bit before the super nostalgia wave.
That's very true.
You know, it was just like a little bit before you see all these reboots and shows and everything coming back. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I would give it like a 9 out of 10. I thought it was really well done.
I would too. Pilots are tricky.
Yeah, they are.
It's tricky not to feel like you're smashing so much information in, but also you need to give us enough for us to want to watch more. I thought they did a great job of establishing characters, yet still having enough mystery that we're like, okay, we want to know more about what's going on. Set up a lot of things in this pilot.
Yeah. So let us know what you think of this first episode of Carrie Diaries. It was on HBO Max, but of course, just when we were about to cover it, it's not anymore. And so
like that, it's gone.
Yeah. And just like that. Yeah. So we had to buy it. We had to buy it. Cause it's not streaming anywhere. But, anyway, if you've seen it, you're listening, let us know what you think. And, Jax, where can people find you?
At Jacqueline C Tweets on Twitter and Jacqueline Collier on Instagram.
Yeah. Newly verified. Fancy.
Newly verified. Rachel texted me and she's like, did I know it was before you were verified? And I texted back, well, it's been 2 years of every 30 days resubmitting. So finally.
Yes. But you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And also you can find us at City Girls Pod. So check us out on there. And we have all of the episodes of Sex and the City and the movies all recapped. So I have the playlist. And you can follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That really helps us so much. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. And I look forward to reading your comments. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.